Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Of course, you'll find us online at thisweekinamerica.us. In a very personal and captivating memoir, our guest on today's This Week in America, Meg Henderson Wade, interweaves stories of mob bosses, drugs, and danger. Her bittersweet life stories in her award-winning memoir, Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales, telling her story with humor and candor, touching your heart and your funny bone, the account of her trip back from darkness. Meg is a motivational speaker, an actress, dancer, and author. She's the chief motivational officer for Bless Your Heart Productions, born in Atlanta, now living in Virginia Beach. Sharing her personal struggles with relatable honesty, Meg Henderson Wade, author of Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Stories, is our guest on This Week in America. Meg, a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, hi, Rick. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, so much to talk about during the course of the interview today in your life. And let's start with where this idea came from to write the book and address the problems dealing with drug addiction. How did you decide to, okay, I'm going to sit down and write this because I think I can help other people through some of the problems that you went through?
Well, I'm a very outgoing, very friendly, never met a stranger kind of person. The last person that you would ever think would fall into those hands. I knew people in high school that had gotten addicted to drugs, and it didn't happen to me until I was 45 years old and certainly knew better. My main message is the fact that it is so addicting that it can happen to anybody. I was always one of those who was kind of high on life, Rick, you know, really happy,
yes.
Never had a problem. Ended up married to this guy who I knew from high school, and he had drug problems. And he kind of introduced me to them later. At that time, we'd been married for 17 years, and even our grandfathers knew each other. So it wasn't like I didn't know this guy. But he basically said, hey, Meg, here, try this. And I went, okay, which, hello,
yes.
Stop,
yes.
Do not do drugs. Do not go down this road. You know, in hindsight, you're like, oh my gosh, what a silly thing to do. But a lot of us that grew up in the 60s and 70s, like I did, that's why my book's called Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer. It wasn't as difficult as it is nowadays. You know, I had smoked marijuana maybe back in the late 70s, never had an issue. I had snorted cocaine once maybe in the 80s. Never had an issue. I didn't even drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes. So I was not your typical person who would get addicted to drugs.
And you talk about this and share that so honestly in her book, Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer. Our guest is Meg Henderson Wade. That is her website, by the way, meghendersonwade.com. Get information on her and get information on the book. You can link onto it directly, her website, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about what you learned as you wrote the book, as you're sharing all of these deep, dark secrets. Talk about the impact that had on you. Did it have an impact as you were writing the book?
Oh, absolutely. It was extremely cathartic. It was a great release. I was, to be honest, I was ashamed of myself. I grew up upper middle class white girl, and never in a million years would have thought that this would have happened to me. Basically, I was shocked in all my research later and my personal experiences that even one smoke of crack cocaine, it'll have you addicted immediately. I didn't know this. And to be even more honest and more, oh my gosh, was I gullible and naive, I didn't know what it was. This man who I'd been married to for years, known since I was a child, fathers, grandfathers knew each other, said, hey, Meg, here, smoke this. Naively, trustingly, not thinking super in the future, I went, okay, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, that is my message. A lot of us are in social situations and things happen, and
exactly.
You just do, and then you're like, wow. And a lot to the younger people too. You know, I'm still shocked and embarrassed, but it was extremely, I felt that the only way, as Narcotics Anonymous tells you, you're only as sick as your deepest secrets. well, I've always been outgoing and kind of never met a stranger, kind of a big mouth. So I was like, I have to talk about it or it's going to make me even more upset, ashamed, and it's not going to help anyone. So that's why I decided to tell my story, Rick.
Yeah, and in dealing with it, you're helping so many other people. Our guest is Meg Henderson Wade. The book is Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, the Mafia, and Other Totally True Stories. Let's go back a little bit. Spend a couple minutes talking about your background, growing up in a small town in the South in the 1970s. What was that like for you?
Oh, my God. In retrospect now, in all of the things that are coming out in the movies and nowadays, I didn't realize that I was at the middle of the civil rights movement, Rick. I didn't know that. I grew up 45 minutes from Greensboro, North Carolina, where the Woolworth sit-in was big, if you remember that years ago in the
60s. Yes.
I didn't realize at the time I was actually bused to black schools. You didn't really hear about this that much, and this was maybe in the late 60s, early 70s. I was born in 1960, graduated from high school in 1979, so I would have been in elementary school late 60s, early 70s. Some of us from the other neighborhoods were bused to the black neighborhoods, so that was a big dichotomy for us kids that had grown up in a certain kind of background to all of a sudden be bused to different schools where we were the minority. That's something that you really don't hear that much about.
Yes.
I'm not alone. So that was a very, actually, I liked it, and it also made me feel like, oh my gosh, I wish I were more ethnic. I wish I had something to, I wish it was Italian.
Yes.
I wish it was Jewish. Yes. I wish I wasn't the WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Well, ever since the movie Steel Magnolias came out, I'm like, oh my gosh, there were other Southerners who were like me in the movie The Help. That was how we grew up. And we were shocked that what other people thought was kind of abnormal was normal for us. And I think that's the secret to life. Whatever happens to you, that's your normal. That's your normal. That's what you see. But you don't realize that other people don't see life like you see it.
And that comes alive in the story Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer. You talk in the book about being, well, you call yourself gullible, trusting, you're friendly and outgoing. What were some of the situations you got yourself into because of those character traits? You'd almost think, friendly and outgoing, and what could go wrong? But something could go wrong.
Well, you know, I moved to, I went to college at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. Grew up in Martinsville, Virginia, so I'm kind of like Mayberry meets the world. You know, I have this naivete, you know, like Andy Griffith did, but at the same time, I have lived life and had things happen to me, and it's deeper than you might think initially. So this Mayberry meets the world spirit, I was having trouble. It was the 70s, and money wasn't super abundant at the time. So I dropped out of college and moved to the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, which you know all small-town girls do.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
Never taken a bus anywhere in my life. I'm there waiting. My first bus stop was the Rice-A-Roni San Francisco tea. You know, that stop?
I'm
standing there. I'm going, oh, my gosh. And I'm standing there, I'm seeing Alcatraz down there, I'm in the middle of Chinatown with Chinese ladies with carrying dead ducks without heads in their bags and going, oh my gosh, this is not like the Piggly Wiggly back home.
Little different.
So I end up having all sorts of situations like that. Again, later on, I'm either very strong or very stupid, depending on which day you look at it. But I also moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And I, you know, would just get myself into situations. I had this one boyfriend who told me that his grandfather was the Don of Buffalo. And I said, oh, you mean his first name is Donald? I'm serious. It was the early 80s. We didn't have the internet. I didn't know anything about all that. I'm a small southern town girl.
Sheltered girl,
you know,
yes.
Long story short, later on I found out all these things, but I'm like, how am I still here and alive? Thank you, Lord. You know, and I knew people that did cocaine and had little vials around their neck with spoons attached. I didn't even know what that was. I had sinus problems. They told me to go to a head shop. I didn't know what that was. I found out later it was a drug shop. I didn't know. I went and got, you know, nasal spray, which is really just salt and water, which is actually a good thing for sinuses. So I would end up in all sorts of situations just because I'm very adventurous, very outgoing, and also very trusting and very naive.
And all of those stories come to life, sort of the education of Meg Henderson Wade in her book, Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales. You're talking there about leaving the waterfront and the boat, everything at home where you've been living and using.
Oh, yeah.
And moving back in with your parents, except you had nothing when you moved back. Talk about that.
I left my expensive house on the waterfront with the boat in the backyard and the SUVs, all of that. That's the thing when you're quitting addiction. It's people, places, and things. And only if you want to quit do you have to totally remove yourself from people, places, and things that make you want to use. Well, I had been married to this guy, like I said, 17 going on 18 years, and didn't get addicted until I was 45 years old. I found myself going from a Marilyn Monroe voluptuous body to a Nicole Richie skinny, tiny face, big sunglasses. You know, I couldn't even sit in the bathtub without putting a towel down because I was so skinny. It was terrible. It was not a good thing. And I finally had my breaking point. And for me, because I'm so dramatic, my breaking point was actually extremely anti-typical for Meg. It was like, okay, he was ranting and raving and going off on a crazy tangent for the 12th millionth time, and I thought, that's it. I've had it. That's it. No more. And for me, usually my normal way to react was, ready, fire, aim.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So therefore, for me to be actually calm and all that, it actually made me take myself seriously. And I basically moved in with my mother and father. None of us who knew, you know, my mom's worrying, you know, if I'm going to run off in the middle of the night. I never even bought the drugs. My husband bought it all. And I think that happens to a lot of middle and upper middle class women that isn't spoken about a lot.
The book is such a fascinating read. Yeah, it will get your attention in very serious issues, and then you'll be chuckling as you're going along. Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales. Meg Henderson Wade, our guest. That's her website, meghendersonwade.com. Book, of course, available wherever books are sold, and you can link on to all of that information by going to our website. Time is going by so quickly. You've got some great stories in there where you share your life as a D-list celebrity, and you're doing it with some, like, A- and B-list celebrities, and some humor came out of those situations, didn't they?
Exactly. Well, small world that it is, I have a connection, and last week I was at the Something in the Water on the very front row for the Billboard and rap singers and hip-hop singers, Pharrell Williams, P. Diddy, Usher, Beyonce, P. Diddy. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm here. So I still kind of have my little connections, and I still pinch myself and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe. So I, you know, even at my baby boomer age, of 58, you know, I'm still like, oh my gosh. So it's very interesting, and I do think that unless you're honest about things, you can't help yourself, and you can't help anybody else. And I know I'm not the only person in the world that's gone through this. I know I'm not the only baby boomer that's gone through crises. I know I'm not the only female in America that's gone through crises. But I just kind of have the guts or the chutzpah to talk about it.
Yeah, there were so many.
And that's what I talk about when I meet with people. In addition to that, I also talk about looking after my elderly parents. My mother just died a month ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And I looked after her since I was 20 years old. So we're talking 38 years. Wow.
Yes.
That's a whole other discussion and a whole other book.
I was going to say a whole other book that will help people, because so many boomers are going through that.
I was a caregiver for many years.
Yes. The book Confessions. I was just going to say, you'll find not that story because it's too new. Maybe in the sequel, but the book Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer. The book is so relatable. A few minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly. The highs, you had, what, a TV movie? You had plays directed by a famous director.
Yes, I lived in Japan as a Navy wife, okay? I was a Caucasian. I was married to a Caucasian man, but we were in the United States Navy in Yokosuka, Japan. I did Japanese TV movies and rock videos, where I was the token Caucasian. Now, I would not only appear in these, I'm smarter than I like to let people think that I am. I also hired other gaijin or foreigners to be in these movies and made a commission off that. So, I would do that. So I was in rock videos. I was in a TV movie in Japan with Florence Griffith Joyner, the Olympic star, who, when she was still alive. I had a connection. This is sad, and the book tells a lot of this. I knew about Michael Jackson and young boys before the whole world did.
Yes.
And there's a story in it about the book, in the book about it, and it's very poignant. But you know, I still love Michael Jackson and his music, but I knew these stories before. So yeah, like I said, I have this strange connection of being, oh my gosh, you know, from the small town, and then having these little connections with people, and I still get a big kick out of that. And I like to tell my stories with people, and I listen to other people's stories and try to help them navigate today.
Yes.
You know, whether it's drug addiction, or whether it's looking after your parents, or whether it's living in a diverse society. Those are things that I really feel strongly about, and I'm involved with a lot of charities.
Well,
that have those three things in mind.
Life is full of incidents like that, isn't it? I mean, you got highs, you've got lows. It's not a straight line all the way across. And you bring out all of those. As I say, we're touched by your story, maybe relate to a story of some situation you're going through, and then laughing about another situation you're going through. The book is a perfect mix of all of those, the serious as well as the humor that you had in these situations. I know you've been working with Reader's Magnet in getting the information on the book out there. What has that experience been like for you so far?
Oh, that has been super. I've actually talked to a couple of different people, and on the phone, I'm telling them my story, and they're like, what? You're kidding? What? And I go, no, go check out this website. And they're like, no way. And I go, yeah, way. And these people are quite a bit younger than I am, but a lot of people, everybody knows somebody who has been addicted to something.
Yes.
Whether it's usually drugs, it could be alcohol and things like that. And everybody has something to overcome. And like I said, I've got a common story that, you know, growing up as a small girl in the South, you know, the racial divisiveness and hoping that we come together more today. To be honest, I thought by the time I was this old brick, we'd be a lot farther.
Yeah, I did too, and I'm older than you are. I'm one of those where you're in that everybody's younger than me category. But I really thought at this point, when we hit 2019, maybe things are going to be going in a much better direction.
Me too.
And it scares me because I'm not sure we're ever going to get back on track here.
I'm not sure either, and it makes me so sad because, like I said, I grew up in the 60s. I've seen, I saw Green Book. Do you know what I mean?
I lived it.
I saw places where they said, you know, whites only at the colored, and coloreds only at the water fountains. I remember asking my mother, what is this? And my mother saying, we'll talk later. You know, yes. I mean, I was there. I was there.
When you live through
we thought we would, you know, God bless Martin Luther King and everybody that has stood up. We're all the same.
Yes. When you think,
I live in Japan. We're all the same.
Well, yes.
We're all so much more alike than we are different. That's the beauty of it.
Think about how far we came in regressing now, and it's a frightening proposition to see. So much more to talk about, and hopefully we can get Meg back with us on the program. Meg Henderson Wade, her website is meghendersonwade.com. Her book is Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer, How I Survived Crack Cocaine Addiction, The Mafia, and Other Totally True Tales. Meg, this has been fun. Thank you so much for sharing your story on the program today, and more importantly, doing it in the book, because you're going to be able to help a lot of people with the content of the book, what you're talking about, the issues that you bring up in Confessions of a Southern Baby Boomer. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Rick, and bless your heart, darling.
And by the way, information on Bless Your Heart Productions, you'll find at Meg's website as well. A lot of great information there, not only just on the book, but great information as well. MegHendersonWade.com. And of course, you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we are back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.